creation. Amen. God's made all kind. And he never made but one of me. Amen. And one of Brother Delaney, thank God. I thought he ought to make 4 or 5 of me, but only one of him.
Bless you, brother.
Amen. Well, wait till he leaves Saturday. We're going to really talk about him. I'm going to preach Saturday night on why I'm glad I'm not Sam Delaney. Amen. Been knowing Brother Sam, I guess, about 38 years. Yeah. And he came to Bible school when I did, and tell a little story on him. Third year, he was going to get out and do deputation, go back to Northern Ireland to his people, which he did. And so he went out and bought him a Volkswagen van to run the highways on. But he done bought it. But anyway, I was trying to talk to him, and I said, "That's not a good highway vehicle." I said, "You'll be going down the road, and it'll blow up on you." Well, he come out of Northern Ireland, where they were blowing up things. Like he said last night, you know, 1972, about the 8 cars. So that's where he came from, and when I said blowed up, he stepped back and looked at me. Which I... Well, I try to say the motor tariff on you, but yeah, we use the term blow up. So, but Sam didn't know if he wanted that vehicle or not. It didn't last long, did it?
No.
That's what sent me through Bible school, working on Volkswagens, aircrew Volkswagens. I knew it was going to last. Pardon?
Got all my money.
Yeah. All righty, turn with me, and good to be here, and appreciate the cool day that God gave us today. And we come out 107, 110 down there. Yeah. I mean, it's hot. It's hot, and then it's hot. I always amazed at the term, it's 98 degrees, but the heat index is 103. Well, why ain't it 103 degrees? Seriously. I don't know what degrees it is. I want to know what it is out there.
Yeah.
Amen? So, it's one of this professing himself to be wise, he became his fool. Look with me. Go with me this afternoon, and we'll try to get you out of here pretty quick. No, seriously. I always try to have as much sense as a washing machine.
Yeah.
It will turn off when the water's gone. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, you look there with me, and we'll go to verse 13. And three Gospels records this, and all of them got a little something different to say about it. John does not have this in verse 13. You find your place there. It said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now look down in verse 1, "and seeing the multitude." So he's talking about his followers. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
And he said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" It. What is it? The world.
Yeah.
Well, Sam preached an excellent message. Just this to go with what he preached. "It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men." Mm-hmm. What is that? The earth. Amen.
Amen.
So when the Lord Jesus Christ left here, he left us in charge of being the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
And buddy, we've lost that.
Yeah.
As a whole, now I know there's a few of us, and you know, there's still some old salty preachers around.
Yeah.
Amen. And Brother Justice preaching down in Dothan, and a woman coming back to he preached and said, "Brother Justice, you have the spirit of boldness." I never heard that one, and it ain't in the Bible nowhere that I know of. But if you preach anything or stand for anything or take a stand for anything, yeah, then they call you a legalist or call you a dictator. Amen?
Yeah.
And but God told us that we're to be the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
And I got a few things here I want to show you on that. about salt. And if you're an older person raised on a farm, you know a lot about salt and what it does, amen. And that's the way I was raised down in South Mississippi. But we don't have to look very far to see that the church has lost some of its saltiness.
Yes, sir.
You don't see too many of God's people living the salt life.
That's right.
The average, and I'm talking about independent Baptists. I'm not preaching to the crowd down the road.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I'm talking about the independent Bible-believing Baptists who think they've took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they'll compromise with anything comes down the road. You could tie a Bible around a dog's neck, run through the middle of church, and 50 people would follow down and start a work down the road somewhere. Amen. They'll believe anything.
Yeah.
And you'll get in the pulpit, as Brother Sam did, and mention two or three things. Well, you get offended because you got a family member involved in it.
Yeah. Amen.
Or you got a family member of that way. And you will get offended at the preacher.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. And you might get up and do a little joking like Brother Sam did about Alabama and Auburn. I'm like him. I could care less if they ever played another football game. And South Carolina, North Carolina, I feel the same way.
Me too, brother.
Seriously, I could care less. I've never been a sports nut. Now, sports is good, but not the way it is today. It has consumed the minds of America, and it has consumed the church on Sunday morning. Amen. Your top priority and what's on your mind most of the time ought to be God, what God thinks about it. Amen. Leviticus, here's what God thought about salt. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, when the Lord was giving the instructions for their offering, he said this, "And every oblation of the meat offering shall thou season with salt, neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from the meat offering. With all thine offering thou shalt offer salt." You realize when you do all your offering to God, if you're not a salty Christian, I don't believe it's pleasing to God. I believe God intends for us to have a backbone. I believe God intends for us to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. Amen. And I believe he needs us to do it with compassion, but yet he needs us to do it. Christ Jesus done it, and he was full of compassion. Amen. Disciples done it. They were full of compassion. And you have to pray for compassion. You have to pray for love. But I believe God intends for us to be salty Christians.
Amen.
Take a stand for something. And we're living in a day and age where that's not real popular. You know, we Bible believers, and I believe the Bible. And boy, I think the Bible's right and the King James Bible's it and all that. And you'll believe that till it hits your family.
Amen.
You'll believe it till it comes to your family. And then you'll kind of waver a little bit on it. Amen. I'm of the belief if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If Miss Meyer didn't live according to these scriptures here, I'd church her. I would. I'd put her out of church. Well, if I had another lady didn't live right, I'd put her out of church.
That's right. You're right.
You women don't like that very much, do you? You'll be all right. I'd put my son out of church. I'd put my daddy out of church. I put everybody out of church. I don't. My daddy's dead. But if they didn't do right, the Bible is black or white. There's no gray in here nowhere. No gray whatsoever. And people think preachers are hard sometimes, but after two or three years of you dealing with it in private, and then it comes to public, and they think you just hopped up, made a decision, and run somebody off. They don't realize you've been praying with this, meeting with these people, counseling these people, and then when it does come out public and you have to dismiss someone, or you have to deal with the issue in the church, then they think, well, he didn't have manner. I'll tell you what, he took his time on that. Well, he'd been dealing with it three or four years. Losing sleep. But it seems that no offering of any kind is good without salt. Now, salt, I looked the definition up, is a savior, S-A-U-O-R. The quality which renders a thing valuable, the character or reputation of a thing. Memory of, he's a salty old character.
Yeah, right.
Boy, he's a salty dog. Yeah. Amen. Every grain of salt is perfectly square. Do y'all know that? If you break it and break it and break it and break it, it comes out exactly square, every grain of salt. Why? It's a type of a Christian. Amen? You got to have order. There's several things about salt that can apply to the salty Christian. I want to show you those tonight and hopefully get you out of here. I know you got to work tomorrow, and I do appreciate you taking time to come. A salty Christian, first of all, it should affect his speech.
Yeah.
You know what God cleaned up on me first was my speech. And buddy, I could out cuss a 30-year Navy man. I ain't proud of it. I'm ashamed of it now. And we always had respect for the ladies and all. Men didn't talk around ladies like they do today. I don't care how sorry you were, and I don't care how sorry she was. You did not talk around a lady like people do today. Sometimes you can't even go in a restaurant and have dinner with your children and your wife without some filthy mouth sucker sitting over there. Amen. And I personally say something to them. If I don't, my wife will get them to say something to them and tell them how bad I'm going to whip them if they don't do it. Amen. But it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. When your speech ought to have a little saltiness about it. What's that? It ought to be right or wrong. I don't agree with that. I don't think you should have said that. Amen? I don't think you should be selling that in our neighborhood. Amen? You ought to have a little season about you. You ought to be a little grit in your craw. And that don't mean you got to be hard. That don't mean you got to be ugly. Amen. Many times you can win them people to the Lord because you had a little salt in your speech. Them people you look out and meet on the street, we got a bad habit of judging who's going to get saved and who ain't going to get saved. We think them old drunks and them old hardcore bikers and them old down and out honky-tonk goers and all that, well, they going to get saved. Yeah, and then you go over there and try to lead that little nerd to the Lord, you know, and he's a cotton-picking smart that you can't even talk to him. You know who usually receives the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That down and outer, brother. That has done tried everything in the world. That everything he's got fell apart. I was one of them. Everything I had fell apart. I'd lost everything I had. And somebody brought the gospel to me, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. You say, why? He had a little salt in his speech. I had a preacher sitting in my one led me to the Lord. Matter of fact, Brother Jim Trotter, he sat in my living room one Saturday morning, and I threatened my buddy who brought him over there, who got saved a year before. I threatened to whip him if he ever brought a preacher to my house, and they knocked on the door, and sure enough, there he was with his preacher. Well, that threat didn't mean a whole lot when the preacher showed up, so. And I'm sitting there, and I knew just enough Bible to be an idiot. That's how much I knew. And Brother Trotter looked at me and he said, son, you're in pretty bad shape. I said, why that? And he said, you know what to do and you ain't doing it. He said, you're going to be judged way harsher than what she is. My wife never went to church. See, he had a little salt. We need some salt. That don't mean you go around here with your big Christian flag in the air and your buttons on your coat and a flashing neon sign on your hat. But, amen, when you come against it, you need to speak up. When things happen in your family, you need to have some salt in your speech. When your kids don't do right, you need to have some salt, amen. When your family ain't doing right, or when your family wants you to leave church on Sunday and go join them in a graveyard somewhere for a memorial service, say, no, we go to church on Sunday. I'll be there quick as church is out. Get some salt about yourself. Don't put people on the prayer list that you won't be pray to be saved, and then when they come to town, you lay out of church to spend the Sunday with them. Well, I've seen that done a million times. I mean, have them on a prayer book that we got, a prayer list. Then they show up and my family's a lay out of church to spend a Sunday with them. We need some salt. We need some grit. That's why our churches are not full today. Why? We don't go to the door and tell them that they need to accept Christ as their Savior. You'll invite them to church. You'll come in on their yard. You'll come in on how pretty their house is and everything else. And you have to befriend them. But it comes to a time that you got to put that question out there. Do you know if you're born again or not?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saved. Well, then why ain't you in church?
Right.
Drunks go to beer joints. Christians go to church.
Amen.
Galatians 4:16. I am therefore become have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You tell them the truth, and 9 out of 10 times you'll be their enemy.
You're right.
They run off, run you down, talk about you, say you ain't got no love. Ain't got no compassion.
Right.
Amen. I had a guy stay with me 28 years, 29 years. It might have been 30 years. He's gone. But I'm still his hero. I'm number one in his life. He lived about 10, 15 minutes from church. You know, if I was number one, if somebody's number one in my life, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over and see him every once in a while.
Yeah.
My wife's number one in my life, and you know, I like to see her.
Yeah.
I like to spend some time with her.
Yeah.
Amen? But it should affect your speech. It should affect your peace.
Yeah, amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Look in Mark chapter 9, verse 50, our text. It says, salt is good. That's another text. I didn't read it because it's similar to the one we got. But if you look there in Mark chapter 9, verse 50... I don't care what the doctor said. It says here salt is good. That's what it said. And I like it. But it don't like me. You'll find the text there. I read this. I got it wrote down. I do that because my Bible's coming apart and I can't hardly find my text no more. Mark chapter 9 verse 50 says this. It says salt is good. But if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. Now he's talking about the kind of salt, the saltiness that I'm preaching on tonight. And that salt is good. He's talking about that. It's good for you to be salty.
Yes.
You know, you'll not have many fruits of the righteousness unless you're salty.
Yeah, amen.
See, when you get a little salt in your craw, you'll stand for something. You'll make a difference in your family. Yeah. Amen. You'll make a difference down at the workplace.
Right.
You'll witness to your co-worker.
Yes, sir.
You'll make a difference in your family. A lot of your family will get saved if you get any salt in you. But if you just kind of slide in and get saved and slide on out and slide on down the road and no changes ever come, your family will not accept Christ. Why? They don't see no salt in you. But I like my brothers and sisters, and I like my mama. If they don't like God, I don't like them. Now, I ain't talking about hating them. But I'm not going to put God aside in order to please them. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. That's Scripture, by the way, if you know your Bible and read it in it. That's Scripture. Amen. Yeah, but it should affect your peace. When you get salty, you'll have a walk with God that'll be close. When you get salty, the Holy Ghost of God can convict you of sin in your life. When you get salty, you'll have a love for the lost people in the lost and dying world. When you get a little salt in your life, you'll support a mission. When you get salt, you'll support a local church. Amen. When you get a little salt in your life, you'll love the man of God. And you'll love the people of God. It says peace, and then what do you say? One with another. You get a bunch of old carnal Christians in a church, you ain't got nothing but a, mean, you got a social club. What you got?
Right.
It's going to fight and fuss and cuss and do everything else. A salty Christian will irritate the sinner and the saint. You know salt irritates?
Sure does.
You got a little cut on yourself, go home and put salt on it tonight.
Yeah, right.
Amen. We hear you screaming over where we stand. But you know today, salty Christians, ain't none of them. Why? They don't irritate nobody.
No.
Always be real leery of what the world accepts under the name of Christianity.
Amen.
The world has never liked God's people.
Right.
Never. These news hosts and people on TV and all that, some tragedy. Well, let's pray for them. Everybody pray for them. Well, and they've never said a thing about prayer or God or Christianity. Now, there's some of them that has a good testimony of being born again. I mean, just like I got. But it's so amazing when our whole nation, when like we've been attacked at 9/11, and everybody in the world was praying.
Yeah.
Well, you can pray all you want to, but they just want God you need to pray
That's
to.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You can go all praying you want to.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But there's only one God that you need to pray to.
Amen.
The God that can do something about it.
Yes,
but a salty Christian should irritate the sinner. In other words, it ought to make him uncomfortable to be around him. And it ought to irritate the backslidden saint that don't have no salt.
You're right.
Amen, brother.
John the Baptist in Mark chapter 6, verse 18, it says this, "For John has said into Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife."
Right.
Say, what was that? That's salty.
Yeah, right.
That's the kind of preaching gets your head cut off.
Yeah, right.
Good message right there, by the way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's the kind of preaching that'll get your head cut off. It's the kind of preaching that people that ain't salty, they don't like you. They don't want to stay around you. Yeah. You're a dictator. You think you're right and everybody else is wrong. And
right.
Blah, 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 blah. And all it is, you got a little more salt than they got.
Yeah.
That's what the old men of God had and the old women of God. They had salt. They stood for something. They kept our country straight for 100 years. The men of God around this country back in the late 1800s and the turn of the century up to about 1930, when they would preach, their sermons would be on the front page of the New York Times. Now when they die, they make fun of them.
You're right.
Brother Lester Roloff died in 1982 while we was in Bible school. Little article in the paper about that big. You ever see a preacher projected in a movie of any kind, unless he's a Catholic priest, he's mocked and made fun of and appear and to be made to look like an idiot.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Salty Christians or to irritate.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Not aggravate. I think I had a stroke. I was out of money today, cash in my pocket, and I asked Brother Jordan, I said, you got any money? I was going to get me an ice cream sandwich because I was wanting something sweet. And I said, you got any money? I said, I got to go to AT&T and get some cash. AT&T takes your cash, by the way. They don't give you no cash. The salty Christians will irritate you.
Yes, sir.
Salty Christians in this church will irritate other saints in this church.
Yeah.
You get around somebody that's gung-ho, somebody that's got a burden for souls, somebody want to know what this Bible says, somebody bugging the preacher, somebody's always wanting to tell you what he's learned in the Bible, what he's seen in the Bible. You know what it'll do? It'll irritate that backslidden carnal Christian. It'll bother him. Amen? You get a little salt, you go down to the workplace, you know, it bothers you, it bothers them. Mm-hmm. Even the ones that say, well, praise God, you got saved. I'm a Christian too. Been working with him 15 years, ain't never said a word to you.
Right. Not a word.
Yeah.
And then he wants you to come to his church since you're saved.
Yeah.
He'd let you go to hell, but since you got saved, come to, you need to come to our church. And most do.
Yeah.
God, I filled up about 5 churches there around Birmingham. I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
Man led me to the Lord, I was loyal to him.
Yeah.
He meant something to me.
Yeah.
He meant still does. He's still living, still preaching. He's 86. Mm-hmm. Amen. Still living, still preaching.
Yeah.
But a salty Christian, we ought to have a little irritation about it.
Yeah,
I don't know, but you ever notice how upset somebody gets by a bumper sticker on your car?
Yeah, right.
It makes them mad. It will literally make them mad. You put one of them little signs up in your front yard and they'll run through your yard and knock it down. It ain't nothing but a little plastic sign.
Yeah.
I got a little bumper sticker. Well, it's a sticker on my tailgate of my truck. It's a Harley Davidson emblem, but it's got on there, "Are you saved?" Well, I catch people tailgating me real, real close. And I know what that. Then I finally realize they're trying to read this. I need a bigger sign for what I need.
Yeah.
Amen. But it irritates them.
Yeah.
You know something else? You need to irritate. John the Baptist was irritating. Paul was irritating.
Yeah.
Paul was beaten, persecuted, and killed because he was a salty Christian.
Yeah.
Stephen was gnashed on with his teeth.
Yeah.
And stoned because he was a salty Christian.
Yeah.
Jeremiah was arrested and put in a pit, a slime pit. Why? Because he was a salty preacher. So another, let me show you a couple of more here. Salty Christianity should make the world thirsty for what you have.
Yes, sir. Yeah, amen.
You eat a lot of salt, you know what you're going to want?
Yeah.
You want water.
Water,
cool water. And if you're salty, others will desire what you have.
That's good.
They'll look at you and say, "What in the world is different about you?"
Yeah.
And I've had that happen many a time. Me and Miss Meyer got saved in January, that Halloween, and I didn't know a whole lot about Halloween at that time, but what we decided to do was have a Halloween get together at our house to keep the kids from trick-or-treating and stuff. And there was a school, I don't know if she was a school teacher. Anyway, she had four kids lived on the other block from us, and I think they went to the same school my children did, but anyway, we'd take them and she'd take them, we'd take them. So they came over that night and Miss Meyer was in the kitchen and the lady was in there helping her and she said, "Y'all different." Now we ain't been saved, we got saved in January and that was in October. She said, "Y'all different. What's the deal?"
Yeah.
In 8 months. Boy, she got around us now. And Meyer guessed two or three things. She said, "We're Christians. We got saved in January." She said, "That's what it is." Do you know she and them four kids got saved that night?
Thank you, Lord.
Went all four of them kids to the Lord that night.
Yeah.
It's what you got make others thirsty for it.
Yeah, that's good.
Healing. That's good.
What you got in your home, does other thirst to have it? What you got in your marriage, does other thirst to have it?
Amen.
Has anybody looked at your life and said, "Man, I'd like to be like that"?
Yeah, that's good, preacher.
Anybody looked at your marriage and say, "You know, I wish my home was like that"?
Yeah,
I wish my marriage was like that. It ought to make people thirsty. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven."
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't have a light unless you got salt.
Yeah.
Your light is fueled by salt
right.
In your life.
Yeah.
You don't have a light if you don't have no salt.
Yeah.
That's why God put them both together there. A thing that's been around something... some things that's going around today is called lifestyle evangelism, and that's where I don't need to talk, I just need to live, like, you know. And the bunch of believes that, they ain't, the way they act, the way they dress, the way they worship, they ain't got nobody desiring God.
Yeah.
That somebody might desire that mega church or that big entertainment center over there and that nightclub with the go-go lights and the flag. Amen. Might desire that and the rock music, but they don't desire God, and they leave there feeling worse than they did when they got there if they're a Christian.
Yep.
Why? It's a fleshly ministry. It ministers to the flesh.
Yes, sir.
If you don't leave your church feeling closer to God than when you got there, you need to find another church.
Amen.
I see it all the time. Big thing at our church, and when they leave, we don't love them.
Yeah.
And my church has been known all over this country how friendly our people are.
Yeah.
But see, when you get wrong Everybody's wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
Like somebody been married 7 or 8 times, you know, there's a common denominator there.
Yeah.
And you're it. If every church is wrong and you're right, there's a common denominator, yeah. And you're it.
Yeah.
Amen. Salty Christians should make the world thirsty for what they have.
Yes.
A thing's been going around, that's lifestyle evangelism, and God, I think we ought to tell people, it's one thing to do, live right. If you got enough salt, you'll live right. You got enough salt, you'll dress right. You got enough salt, you'll talk right. You got enough salt, you'll walk right. You got enough salt, your light will shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace seasoned with salt. I used that a while ago. That you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Amen.
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 But a salty Christian should make other people thirsty.
Yes, sir.
A salty Christian's life will be a life that helps others heal.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're a salty Christian, you can help that wounded person. You can help that heartbroken person. You can help that little woman that her husband done her wrong, or you can help that man that his wife done him wrong. You can help that little child that's been abused.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You can walk up to the side of a person in a hospital room and comfort them.
Mm-hmm.
They can, the lost world can sense your salt.
Yeah.
Amen.
They know that you got comfort. They know you got a message. And like Brother Carpenter here in his neighborhood, in my neighborhood where I pastor and where I live, I'm known as the preacher. They don't know my name. They just know I'm the preacher. What is that? That's having a little bit of salt in my light shining. Amen. And you ought to have a light shining. And I say this right everywhere I go. I'll just go ahead and say it. God said let your light shine, but he didn't mean you tell light, ladies.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Dress right.
Yeah.
Amen. A salty Christian have a desire to preserve the old past.
Yes, sir.
See, salt not only heals, and if you've been raised on a farm, you know that, because salt's used quite a bit around animals.
Amen.
Our cows used to get something. Grandpa would split their tails. I can't remember what it was. Hoof disease, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Hoof degree? He'd split their tails, open it up, and put salt in there and wrap that tail, and it'd cure that cow.
Amen?
It heals. And it was used in a Civil War. It's been used in war quite a bit to heal. If a man, look what it says in Galatians 6:1. Brethren, talking to us, if a man be overtaken in a fault, let you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You can always tell how salty a Christian is by their willingness to help others. By the compassion in their life. By going out of their way. By taking the extra mile. Amen?
Amen.
Like the man on the road. I got a message I preach out of there. A good Samaritan came through there. And the Levite and the priest came by and he didn't want food with him. Why? He didn't have no salt. That old boy come down there. He got off his donkey, got down, put some wine on him. Amen. Got him lifted up. Took him back to the inn. Said, here's 2 pence. If any more when I come, I get him. Which is perfect enough for coming to Christ. But you know, if you got some salt, you'll go to mission field.
Mm-hmm.
If you got some salt, you'll give to missions.
Yeah, amen.
If you got some salt, you'll find somebody out here in this neighborhood that you can help and be a blessing to.
Yeah.
And go by and pick up and bring down to the church house.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
They trouble. They stink.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they got a soul.
You're right.
Yeah, amen.
You endure hardship in third world countries doing mission work and going to mission field.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Amen, bro.
Amen.
And the ones that don't want to do that don't have no salt.
Yeah.
You will give out of your necessities. You will give beyond what you're able to see that the gospel gets sent around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be selfish.
Amen.
Amen. Warm water and salt heals a sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
In animal, it'll heal pink eye. Animals get pink eye. Now, that's a terrible thing to do, and I don't know if I could do it. I'm not a big animal person, no way. I'm a car person. Amen. The Bible times, newborn babies were salted down and wrapped in a swaddling cloth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mary had Jesus like that when they was born.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was about, but read it. Study history.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You can always tell how salty a Christian is by their willingness to help others.
Yeah,
a person who will go the second mile, a Christian who can forgive and move on, is a salty Christian. Things happen in people's lives and I hear about it, and all I can say is it's going to take a lot of God.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of God. People lose their babies or lose their children when they get a few years on them.
Mm.
I just say it's going to take a lot of God. It's going to take a lot of salt.
Yeah, amen.
Then a salty Christian will have a desire to preserve the old past. You got something unusual here, and you know that. I have people come by my church all the time and say, man, you don't know what you got here. You got to do it. Me and God build it. I ain't stumbled up here and say, man, oh God. Amen. Started that work in my house. 1984. I know exactly what I got.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
But I ain't no telling how many people I've had come by there and say that. Man, you don't know what you got here. Yeah, I do. I got an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist
Amen.
Church
mm-hmm.
with an old man of God that gets in the pulpit and will skin your hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm being nice tonight. Now it's about Sunday evening. I don't tell what it'd be like. A salty Christian will have a desire to preserve the old paths. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. As salt preserves, it will also destroy.
Right.
When Sherman marched to Atlanta, he left a 60-mile wide salt path. He destroyed all the crops and everything for 60 miles wide. Amen. You want to destroy the weeds? Throw salt on them. See, that salt, just like us, people will, and it will come to the time in America where we'll be hated. We are hated now.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't have the law to back it up.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If it was up to them, everybody in this building would be persecuted or put in jail or put in prison for what we believe.
Yeah.
The laws are not in place yet.
Yeah.
But you let certain people get in there, they want to destroy what we believe. They want to destroy what we have. They want to destroy the way we raise our children. They want to destroy the way we treat our wives. And amen, and the way the home is set up according to God's book.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. They want to destroy it. And they're doing it one piece at a time over the last 70, 80 years they've done it.
Yeah.
It'll preserve or it will destroy.
Yeah, amen.
But as a preservative, it is a perfect type of a Christian, a salty Christian. Paul said, have I became your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yeah. Yeah. You sit down and tell somebody the truth, you're their enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I ain't talking about ugly, just tell them the truth.
Yep.
I'm not talking about rebuking. I ain't talking about the way I deal with people. I tell them all the good things about them before I get on to them. That's the way Paul wrote his epistles. Every church he wrote that epistle to, he uplifted them, he encouraged them, and he remember that?
Yeah.
He said, but I have a matter.
Yeah.
Amen. See, I'm a man. You ain't going to drag me in the office and chew me out. That ain't going to work. You know what I mean? Now, you can drag me in there and talk to me and fellowship with me. And Brother Charlie, I appreciate you. You're a good man. You're doing a good job. But the way you treat Miss Meyer ain't right. You know, I'd listen to that. But you get in my face, it's going to be interesting. Well, that's what men do. You don't. That's where a man reacts.
Yeah.
Treat a man like you won't be treated. And ladies, treat a lady like you won't be treated. And you restore them instead of destroy them. People who stand for the old paths of preaching, praying, singing, shouting, repenting, living right, dressing right, giving right. If God's people don't get some salt back in their lives, Christianity as we know it today could cease to exist in a very short time. My generation is going off the scene. I'm 75. I don't have very many people left. Probably the last 3 years, I've probably lost 25 of my preacher friends. The next generation coming up, they mean well, but they ain't got what this generation had. And we don't have what they had. Thank God we got a little bit of it. But every generation, it decreases.
Yes, sir. You're right.
It decreases. And even the younger preachers, they'll get up and quote the old men of God. Amen. They'll talk about them. They'll brag about them. Sometimes they'll preach their messages, but they won't live like them.
Yeah.
They won't suffer like them.
Yeah.
They won't preach like them.
You're right.
Yeah.
And yet they want what they had. You can't have it without suffering.
Right.
Amen. And I love them and appreciate them. I appreciate the energy they got. I appreciate the view they got. The dream. I appreciate that. I really do.
Amen.
You know when he called Paul to preach, you know what he told Paul? He said, I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
For my name's sake.
Yeah.
Boy, what a call to preach.
Yeah.
Like Brother Sam said last night, if God showed us everything we had to put up with since we've been preaching, I done went back to doing whatever I was doing. Never mind, Lord, I'm saved. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Amen? God's allowed me to raise up a few there at the church. I believe that's going to turn out real good. But some of them went crazy on me too, you know, so. Amen. But you got to get a good dose of salt.
Yes.
That's that old-fashioned convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. Grow you a backbone like a saw log and stand up for something.
Amen.
Stand against something.
Yes, sir.
When sin comes into your life and into your family and into your neighborhood and into your church, you got to take a stand. Me and my wife decided many years ago, if ain't nobody but me and you here, we're going to have church. It's going to be real personal, but we're going to have church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
The boy went to church on Sunday, come home, and his mom said, well, how was it, son? He said, it was real personal. She said, really? Did that preacher say something to you? He said, I was the only one there. Always keep this in mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We don't have to look far to see the salt is slowly losing its savor.
Amen. You're right.
A little notch here. The first thing going to church is music.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
First thing that'll go sideways in this church is music. Get you a little souped up choir leader with his little skinny jeans on and his little headset.
Yeah.
Amen. And his little t-shirt. Well, I'm awesome. I'm telling you, I've been in this thing a long time. First thing, and that's where it comes in, the music.
Yes, sir.
Next thing you know, he's gathered up enough people to vote the pastor out.
Yeah. You're right.
Get rid of that old man there. He's too loud. He's too hard. He's a legalist, and he's this, and he's that. And next thing you know, they vote the preacher out, and then they finally crowd all the old members out, and they took your church over.
You're right.
Amen. Get some salt.
Amen.
Himalayan salt is real good. You want to eat some of it. But that ain't what we're talking about. The little lady said amen over here. I like it. I could eat about a handful. Amen. But what I want you to do, and my title of this, are you living the salt life? Are you salty? You ain't get salty. Don't get arrogant. Don't get smart. Don't get hateful. Pray for God's compassion down in your heart.
Amen.
And get some grit in your craw and stand up for what's right and for what's wrong.
Amen.
Don't compromise.
Amen.
Some of the greatest compliments I get as a preacher now is, Brother Charlie, you never compromise. You're the same as you was when you started out.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to please God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads.